Welcome. Once again, great opportunity to have everyone here. Thank you for coming. This is a special and important day for us as the city. I will let some other folks representing different entities from our part of the world speak to that as well. My name is Dave Anderson. I'm the Community Economic Development Director for Spanish Fork City, and I am going to be brief. We do have certainly a very distinguished group of people with us here today. With a number of different perspectives relative to the VRK Inland Port Project Area, the VRK Industrial Park, VIP, so to speak, which we appreciate Creative Minds helping us come up with that. And just by way of quick introductions, then I will turn things over to Abby Osborne, who's going to be moderating. I guess maybe we'll do some statements before that.
Yes.
Is that okay? Without further ado, I always appreciate being in the same room as our mayor, Mike Mendenhall. Maybe before I move on, Senator Jerry Stevenson, thank you for being here. Appreciate your contribution to this. Somebody that we appreciate very much in Spanish Fork, who served multiple terms on our city council before becoming a Utah County Commissioner here very recently, Brandon Gordon. Again, Abby Osborne, in this capacity today, as the vice chair of the Utah Inland Port Authority Board. And as I mentioned a moment ago, going to be moderating. I'll start down on the other end of the table now. John Bankhead, representing collectively the group of developers that we've been working on to make some special things happen here in Spanish Fork. Rick Nielsen, superintendent of the Nebo School District, certainly one of the larger entities that's going to be affected as good things happen with our project area. Representative Mike Schultz, thank you for being here. Again, an important day for us. Our very own Senator Mike McKell, previous representative, now senator, and we have not met.
Armando Dorado.
Armando Dorado, yes, with Savage.
Yes, sir.
We appreciate you and the expertise that you bring. So that's my intro. We want to start with our mayor.
I get to go first. Is that that's the idea of being the mayor? They told me there would be benefits about being the mayor. Maybe this is it. You get to go first in the panel, right, Commissioner?
That's the biggest benefit.
There's a funny story about somebody asking Commissioner Gordon at one point and said, "Hey, what are you going to try for next? The mayor of Spanish Fork?" And so I'll never let him forget That's the next step after Commissioner. We miss Commissioner Gordon, our former councilman here in Spanish Fork, and he's doing a good job in Utah County, along with Commissioner Powers Gardner and Commissioner Sakovich as well. Welcome, everybody, to Spanish Fork. It was said in the meeting earlier, welcome to Fiesta Days. We are in Fiesta Days 2023, a great tradition in Spanish Fork that involves celebrating our rich culture, our heritage, especially our Western heritage, our agricultural way of life. The rodeo way of life, the cowboy and cowgirl way of life. Dale and Seth kind of hooked me quick down there because they said we were down there earlier talking to the rodeo sponsors. And Senator Stevenson, this never happens to you, I'm sure. But I tried to tell stories, and then they say, you can't tell stories. And that happens? Okay. Well, that's what happened down there. So you're going to get a couple stories from me down here at this meeting, and I'm excited to answer questions after. But down there in our facility, a $40 million facility, investment by Spanish Fork for so many decades, and that investment is for the heritage of livestock and of agriculture, the home of pride and progress. So we're not strangers to an investment like that. We're not strangers to collaboration either. Representative Schultz is aware of this, and I know Senator McKell, Senator Stevenson is as well. But you wouldn't know it, but there are three rodeos happening at the same time in Utah, and three PRCA rodeos happening the same week in the state of Utah. Spanish Fork Fiesta Days, the Days of 47 in Salt Lake, and is Ogden Pioneer Days. So we think we're a pretty big deal down here, but we're always competing somewhat against ourselves, other rodeos, for the best cowgirls, the best cowboys, and the best stock to put on the best performance. A unique thing about this year that's happened is we came together in collaboration and kind of made it a Utah circuit, if you will. And the reason being is because we have a neighboring state that has a pretty big rodeo at the same time as well. So up in Nampa, Idaho, not a small rodeo up in Nampa, Idaho. They sell $100 tickets, not family friendly $20 tickets.
$17.95.
You got it. Okay. But it's a big deal up in Nampa. So what we're trying to do in Utah is be regional, be smart about it, and try to keep the best cowboys, the best cowgirls, and the best stock in the state of Utah for the best entertainment for the rodeo fans. And as I thought about today, that spoke a lot to me that, it's already been said by the board in there, but the regionality of what this project means, not just competing in a national stage, but a regional stage, but collaborating together with our partners from the port. As the mayor, I couldn't be more grateful for that good work that's been put in, the smart and effective and methodical work that's been put in to have this project become a reality. What it means to our residents is years and years of good quality jobs, which results in a good quality of life for Spanish Fork. We are the home pride and progress. So we're proud of where we've been, but we lean in to progress. The name Firk, and paying homage to our Icelandic residents and our Icelandic heritage, pretty special to me. I'm married to a Gesslason, and I'm the grandson of a Johnson. And if you look those two names up, they were here pretty early in the Icelandic world. And the interesting thing about some people's mentality of scarcity, of, hey, there's too much of this, there's too much housing, there's not enough resources or something. If you look in the 1855 records of when the Icelandic people showed up here, the Welsh and the English said the same thing to them. When they arrived here, they said, hey, we're down here. You find somewhere else. And they sent them on the east side of Spanish Fork, where that monument rests on the east side of Spanish Fork. And the Icelanders went up there. They had a tough winter. The winter came early and it was heavy and hard. And they couldn't get enough wood to build homes, so they dug in the side of a hill and tried to survive. A lot of death happened that year, but it was because there was some scarcity down here in the valley that said, hey, we're already here, you go somewhere else. In Spanish Fork, our heritage is welcome. Come here, build on what our heritage is. And that's what this project will build on as well. Is again, the heritage that we have a great thing going, and that's why pride is in our logo. So we're going to be proud. But again, you want to be part of the progress? You're welcome here in Spanish Fork. And that's what this project is. Again, the personal note of it, I get saddened when I hear insinuations of why and what this project is and what it might mean to somebody on a personal basis. I can tell you, if you put up a map of the project now and it was a dartboard, you threw a dart and hit the middle of it, you'd hit some pretty important ground in my heritage as well. The Golds and the Johnsons were down in that area. And about in the early 90s, they were approached and asked if they'd be willing to sell their land. And it wasn't for the most popular of things back then. It was, we need a different place for the county jail. Now, when you're talking about the public process of, hey, let's have public hearings and let's talk about bringing the county jail to your city, you can imagine how those meetings went. You can imagine what was said about my grandpa, Frank Gull, and about his willingness to entertain selling his farm ground, his ground that he'd farmed, that he'd owned, that he'd sweat and toiled and labored over, It wasn't an easy decision for him either. But the result is, since the mid-90s, we've had the county jail there. And it's been a positive thing to have the county jail in Spanish Fork for a couple of different reasons. Don't come to Spanish Fork and think you're going to, at lunchtime, going to rob something and there's not going to be about five sheriffs in the lunch place. In a real sense, and Seth can quantify this better, but when we had thankfully a false active shooter situation just a few months back, you know why we were about 90 seconds in response time to our high school? Because most of those law enforcement people work right here in Spanish Fork. Okay. And so that doesn't happen without some vision 30, 35 years ago. And my grandpa being a farmer who farmed that field, sold that farm field, bought another farm field, not a wealthy person by any means. But I hearken back to his brother that did serve a stint as mayor here too in the late 50s. And there's a story about him that he simply says they were driving cattle from their ground in Palmyra, driving it to the east side to a holding corral before going up Spanish Fork Canyon where they grazed. And it was pretty new paved roads at the time. And so on somewhere about First West, a woman was out on her porch and said, look at what you're doing to the beautiful pavement driving these cattle through here. Because you know, cattle make a mess. You can't tell them when to use the bathroom.
That's accurate.
Good turn. Okay. So making a mess of the road. And the woman said, I know the mayor. I'm going to call the mayor. This isn't right that you're messing up our road like that. And Mayor Regal rode up on his horse and said, no need to call. I'm right here. He was driving the cattle. And so the history of Spanish Fork and our agricultural heritage will not be sacrificed for a project like this. This project is building upon a general plan that has been planned for quite some time to be an industrial area. It will be a place where our kids and our grandkids will be able to have jobs that provide for their families and their posterity as well. So again, I can't thank you enough for being partners in the home of Pride and Progress. This truly does stand out as another step of us making good on a slogan, not just the slogan, but making good on it as the home of Pride and Progress. So thank you to the Inland Fork. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. I always say if you put a quarter in it, you get far more out of it. That's because he doesn't lack for the passion of this community. If you ever want to question how much our good mayor and our current council and even staff love this great town, it's part of the secret sauce of what makes this city great. And I'm confident in the Burke Industrial Park and what it's going to mean for the future of Spanish Fork. Now, we often highlight a lot of the big projects that have happened throughout the history of Spanish Fork, but, you know, Mayor likes to use a term that Spanish Fork hits a lot of singles. We're a baseball town, and there are a lot of singles out there as well. Some home runs happen, but it's really neat, and I have a lot of confidence in this group. I see the, as Mayor mentioned, right, the job creations and all sorts of varieties and different levels for people to be able to have a job and call this place home or the surrounding communities. And I think that's huge. And I touch on that because it's going to benefit all of Utah County. And by the year 2060, I think about 1.3 million people here in Utah County is what we're projecting. We're the fastest growing county in the state. This is certainly a centralized location for a lot of those industries to be able to come together and be able to distribute commerce with this project. And so I couldn't be more excited to just lend my voice of support for this project. I'm excited for those that are really pioneers today and something that will be really, really big.
Thank you, Commissioner
Cushing. Thank you. I think it's really good to be here. And to my legislative colleagues, Representative Schultz, I appreciate the work you've done and for being here in my community. Senator Stevenson, same for you. It's an honor to serve with both of you in the legislature. In South Utah County, we work as a team, and I appreciate being here with Mayor and the Commissioner. And I feel like we have a team where we work together on projects that truly matter. Abby, I always appreciated your help in the House. As I served in the House, you're always there to keep me out of trouble. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate the work you're doing on this today. One of the reasons I like this project moving forward is just to meet the transportation needs that we have in South Utah County. For the last few years in South Utah County, Senator Stevenson knows that I've been in his ear about transportation projects that are important down here. For example, on Highway 6, we're trying to realign the railroad. I think that it's an important aspect to our community. If Mayor Wright was in the room from Payson, he'd tell you we're trying to get an interchange built for him. He's got some really important commercial projects and some really difficulties facing. If Mayor Olson was here from Santaquin, he'd tell you we're trying to improve his interchange. Mayor Mendenhall will tell you here in Spanish, we're trying to fix Center Street and the North interchange. And this project is only going to help. We have significant transportation needs. We are a growing community. When people ask me as a senator in Spanish Fork, what do I worry about the most? It's growth. How do we grow in a way that benefits our community? And I like what the mayor said, pride and progress. We welcome people to Spanish Fork. We welcome that growth. I'm part of that growth. I have four kids that I'd like to see them have an ability to stay here. So I'm here to echo the words of the mayor and the commissioner. I appreciate seeing this move forward. I mean, for me, my focus in the legislature, Representative Schultz and Senator Stevens is going to be transportation. You're going to continue to hear about the needs in South Utah County. I think this is a big part of this. Thank you.
Thank you. It's good to be with you, friends and neighbors. My name is Rick Nielsen. I'm the superintendent of Nebo School District. Which I better explain that for a second here. Sometimes people get us confused with other school districts a little bit. So we are really the large communities of Springville, Spanish Fork, and Payson. I'll call them the middle-sized communities of Mapleton, Salem, and Santaquin, and then a whole bunch of other communities here all in South Utah County. And we have 36,000-plus students in Nebo School District. So we're one of the five or six biggest districts in the state of Utah. And interestingly enough, with about 4,600 employees, we're the largest employer in South Utah County. So we kind of stay behind the curtain a little bit because we're in the business of teaching kids. And that's what we focus all of our time and all of our attention and all of our efforts on. So when it comes to projects like this, a lot of times folks don't understand The district is also big business as well as big educators and just committed to kids. A couple of things I wanted to mention are these. Number one, we work really, really hard as a district to have strong partnerships with all of our cities, all of our communities. I meet on a regular basis personally with elected officials and with paid staff from the cities here in the school district. So we've been having conversations with primarily the staff here with the city on this project. We really appreciate the partnership that we have with them, that they're engaged with us in conversations so that we make sure that the needs of children are not set aside as we look at other interests and other needs for the community as well. So I just want to give a real shout out to the partnership that we have with Spanish Fork City. And frankly, I think that the same level of partnership and the same level of collaboration can and will happen with Inland Port on this project as well. Every part of me believes that long-standing history will lead to good things on this same partnership as well. I mentioned it earlier, but our focus is on students, right? We say all the time, focus on students, focus on students. So some of the intriguing things to us as a project like this gets underway, when you think about the kinds of work opportunities, education opportunities, again, student partnership opportunities that are going to develop, it's really of high interest to a school district to be able to say to our high school kids, you know what, let us connect you up with business, industry, manufacturing, shipping. Those are cutting edge businesses, cutting edge opportunities for our kids that'll be right here in our own community, right in Spanish Fork, which of course is central to all of Nebo School District. The last thing I just want to call out is obviously we're very committed to the community as a whole. When you've got 4,700 employees, they live in Nebo School District by and large. So we have to be very mindful that our employees are also your neighbors. So we want to make sure that we never get engaged in projects that are going to be detrimental to the community as a whole. And it really feels to us like this Burke initiative is something that is collectively beneficial from our perspective to elevate students, elevate community, elevate our employees. So really thanks to Spanish Fork City for the work that they're doing with this, the work they're doing in working with the Inland Board. And we're happy to be here and support what's going on with this and answer any questions that folks might have for us.
Superintendent, Senator, Commissioner, Mayor, thanks for those comments. We're going to go through a few questions here, and then we'll take a couple questions from the audience at the end of that. But let's start with Representative Schultz. Mayor, I'll ask you the same question, too, so you can mull over it and give an answer after the representative. But why is this project important for the state, important for Utah County, specifically Spanish Fork, when you think about logistics and economic development?
I mean, that's a great question. And I'm going to start into this a little bit on something that Mayor Mendenhall brought up and the reason for collaboration and importance for that. He brought up something that's near and dear to many of our hearts sitting in this room, and that's rodeo in the state of Utah. We have three great rodeos. We have many great rodeos in the state, but we have three great rodeos in the one state now. All of them are happening at the same time, and they're all good rodeos, but they compete against each other, right? And they compete against Salinas, California, Nampa, Idaho, a little bit Calgary. And so what you had before, there was a couple of us got together, had an idea, thought, what if we came together and had those three rodeos work together to make it better for the contestants? What would that look like, right? Because right now you had, the top cowboys in the world, they come through, they might hit one, maybe they hit two, but they're doing it as they come through Utah, on the way from Calgary to Nampa or to Salinas, California. We weren't the epicenter. Right? But we have the opportunity with three great rodeos to come together and make the best rodeos in the nation by working together. And that's exactly what happened. Well, the first time I threw this idea out there, I got a not only no, but a hell no, go pound sand from all three rodeos. You remember that, right? And so I called Senator McHale and I said, hey, here's an idea. What do you think? And he said, I like it. And I said, I think it's something that's good. Work with Spanish Fork just to get them to have an open idea. Let's have the conversation. Let's see if we can craft something. So that's what happened. I worked with Ogden, worked with Salt Lake. Mike worked, had conversations with Spanish Fork. And what we came up with literally is the best in the nation. Now you have all the cowboys and cowgirls from across the nation that are drawn to Utah. Salinas is talking about moving their dates. Nampa's talking about moving their dates so that they don't have to compete with what we came up with here in Utah. And that's the power of collaboration, by coming together to find ways forward. Rick and I have had the opportunities to work together over the years to work out better ways we fund education. And it's worked out to be a lot better. These rodeos were going to happen either way. Education funding was going to happen either way. But we found ways to increase it and make it better. And I think that's what we're talking about doing with the development around what's happening inside Spanish Fork. It's going to happen anyways. It's going to develop anyways. The question is, how does it happen? Well, 40% of the nation's GDP already moves through the state of Utah. Utah is the crossroads of the West. Think of that. 40% of the nation's GDP moves through Utah. Every piece of produce grown in California that ends up on the East Coast moves through Utah. There's other things that go on and on about the logistics and why it's important. So when you think about this, okay, so this spot in Spanish Fork has rail access. Union Pacific, multiple rail lines, has an airport, right? and a freeway system that runs east to west across this area, sorry, north to south, like 15, across this nation, right in the epicenter of this. That's why it's important. It's important that we don't just think small. It's important that we think big as far as what's best regionally. And if we think what's best regionally, then that's what makes it and becomes best for what's best locally. And if we can get those trucks and the traffic that was going to happen anyways and create opportunities for it to move through the air or move on the rail lines, that's what we're after. So that's this growth is going to happen regardless one way or the other. It's how we do it and where we go from there to make it better, not just for the citizens of the state as a whole, but especially better for the citizens of Spanish Fork and the citizens of Utah County, because it's going to happen anyway. Let's make it better. Let's work to make it better, similar to what we've done in other areas.
I don't know if I can say it better than what Representative Schultz said, but when we work with the state legislature from a city perspective, sometimes, you know, sometimes we're in rooms where we're on opposite sides of an issue, but we're talking about the betterment of communities and the betterment of the state. And so Representative Schultz hits it on the head when it's planned regionally and act locally. And that's what the port project gets you here is there's no wall that anymore that you know if you're in Spanish Fork or Springville or if you're in Spanish Fork or Salem and Rick, you know, this is as good as anybody. Your students are all over those places. And so those, when you make a decision about your city and about how it lays out the general plan of it, there's no way it doesn't affect regionally your neighbors. And so rather than to have it happen, again, leading into the progress side of our logo, let's plan for it and let's plan effectively. And that's what you're getting with this port project is to plan regionally, still have the local authority, the local autonomy of Spanish Fork and its general plan to make sure those projects are valid, that they work, and that things will still flow to and through Spanish Fork. But I couldn't have said it better. The opportunity to plan regionally and still act locally is why this is a big deal for us economically. And again, people around the state, I often tell this story. They're asking Spanish Fork, hey, what are you doing? We hear things are going really, really good in Spanish Fork. Well, we tell them what we're doing, that we're working well with our partners. We're working well with our partners in the county, in the state. But think about it. That's what they're asking the state of Utah as well. The rest of the nation says, well, how are you doing it in Utah? Things are going good. Year after year, they're asking, how are you doing it in Utah? Well, it's things like this. It's not letting things happen to us. It's proactively planning for it and still have that quality of life that is bringing people from all over the world that want to live, work, and play here. So couldn't have said it better, but a good partnership between the state and local level here.
Representative Mayor, thank you. We're going to do one more question because I know the media has been here a long time. Senator Stevenson, this is our second project that we've approved as the Port Authority. We've been in less than a year on this board, and lots of progress has happened, right? This is our second project. We have one that we just were introduced today. We know of other communities that are looking to do a project, but why are these projects so important to the state, to our local communities?
Let me give you my voice is really bad. So let me just give you, I thought I knew more about inland ports than anyone in the state of Utah 5 years ago. And then we kind of were spinning our wheels, and I got to work with Representative Schultz, and I thought, I'm number two. Then I got to work with Abby and our board, and so I became five-person board, and then we hired the staff that we have. And when I hired the staff, I know all of us just moved down the list, and our staff has taken over. Done an amazing job here. Let me just tell you very quickly When we started this process back in 2017, I was fortunate enough to run the original legislation that put the import process together. And what we're doing now with the spokes, if you will, the Spanish Fork as well, and what we're going to need fine, it's going to happen up in Tremont. Well, so things have come together. They've given us an insight into what needs to happen, not just west of Salt Lake City, but in the state of Utah. And that's where we are right now. And I think you can see the value of this. I was in a helicopter in west of Cedar City last Saturday morning. And I flew over the inland port that we created down there about 2 months ago, three, maybe 4 months ago. And I will tell you, I was so impressed. But they put in about a mile of rail siding. They unloaded their first load of steel, large manufacturing or fabricator of steel buildings. And the excitement in that community is amazing. And the excitement here is amazing. But I think the real thing is we're not going to bypass anyone in this process. Everyone is a winner. I don't want to take a lot of time, and I know I'm hard to listen to right now. This has been an amazing thing to watch develop and grow. And I think what we're doing is the right thing. It's the right thing for the state of Utah. All pieces, mayor, community, we're inside helping push this through, and live your city council, we're here. I spent a lot of time as a mayor, and I understand how that works. And I understand sometimes it's not a popular thing to do, but I guarantee you this is the best thing to do for the community of economic development here. You're natural. You're crossroads. The rails, all the roads come together here. This is the point that distribution needs to support. I hope I answered your question, and I hope I didn't break anyone up too bad. This isn't contagious, I promise.
Before we go to the media, I know they have a couple questions. I just want to give everybody two words. When you think of this project in 20 years, what do you see? Just two words for our media friends. John, let's start with you. Put you on the spot a little bit.
Economic mobility.
Okay.
Right. I have three words.
You can have three words.
Broader tax base.
I think that you can't help but look at this and say this is what's best for the community. I know that's all aware.
Mayor, I'm going to go with Philip Romney. It's on the wall up there, right? Yeah. Progress.
That's three words, but I'll like that.
Kind of, yeah. I don't know.
Scalable growth.
Okay.
Our future.
Okay.
I'll just switch it up. Progress, pride. Instead of pride, progress. How about that?
Okay.
Diversity con.
Total success.
Awesome. All right, we're going to take a few questions if anyone in the media has any. Anyone in the audience?
Hey,
yes.
My name is Mary Murdoch Meyer. I'm the chief executive of the Timpanogos Nation. My ancestors went clear across the Wasatch. We lived here years ago. And this project sits within the Spanish Fork Reservation. There are bodies there. There's graveyards there. Chief Petit Needs buried there. When you go out and you start digging up the land, I would like to think that you look at that as the fact that they are bodies who are buried with love and care, and they need respected that way, instead of just digged up, plowed under, and cement poured over the top of them. They need to have, there needs to be some protection for that. I sit here and I listen to how wonderful you think this project is, and all I can think is at the cost of my ancestors' blood. Projects are good. I'm not against progress. But being disrespectful to graveyards, that I'm opposed to. And I think there needs to be some serious archaeological work done out there before we just go start plowing things up. And also, you talk about rodeos. And everybody loves a rodeo. But we're getting rid of all the farmland. How are you going to have all these? You talk about rodeos and family and all this, but you're getting rid of all the farmland. That concerns me also. Because if you don't have farmland, you're not going to have farm animals. And if you don't have farm animals, you're not going to have a rodeo. So these are things that need to be considered. And I would hope and pray that you look within your hearts when you're dealing with this situation and think about your beloved grandparents and the day they were laid to rest and how you would feel if somebody took a bulldozer to their grave. Because they wanted money, build a business. That's something that is a serious, serious concept. So that's what I'm asking you all to look within yourselves and think about that. Because my ancestors lay there. So.
Just, maybe I'll address that quickly. So we do an environmental review before we move forward project area. So the environmental review we do is a historical component as well. So again, this is something that would not have happened but for the Inland Port's involvement. It's an extra actual level of what we do. So we're happy to go back, look through that, make sure that we understood that. And as this moves forward, ultimately that proper historical preservation opportunities are, our actions are taken. So we work where we can, say, historical preservation office. In the case of private development, where it's a private development situation, may be a little bit different, but for court action, it's definitely something that, we have started the process for and will continue to be aware of and make sure that we do. So it's very difficult to think.
And I would just say, no, you cannot usurp any laws in regards to artifacts, or so we don't, we have to abide by it. Developers will have to abide by all of those rules and regulations. So something is found, obviously. Appreciate the comment. Anyone else have any comments?
If the media isn't going to ask a question, I have a question for you. Is it Dave?
Huh?
And you, Glenn, and Adam.
Okay.
Who on the UITA is actually involved in the environment with DNR, Virginia Water? I met with Canvas, the director, and the cloud seeding director, Dave Sirago, a couple weeks ago. And we do have constant emergency, state of emergency, whether it's drought or flood. But where you think that we don't have scarcity of water, at Utah Island Symposium, environmental professor Ben Abbott, and many environmental and many departments of water rights, DNR, we're all there. And we do have a problem when it comes to water table, the aquifer of Utah. If you spoke with the forestry department and the restoration people who grow the native plants of Utah, they will tell you we do have an aquifer problem that's diminishing in the West. I spoke at the SWAN, Southwestern Agroforestry Action Network. We do have a problem of scarcity of water in the West.
Your question.
My question is, who on your board and this whole department is actually speaking with scientists and experts about this problem, and may we have a meeting with you?
Yes, so the answer is yes. We have environmental engineers talking to the certification. Mona Smith is her name, and we can have
right. Yes,
Yeah, hi, I'm Nicole Whiteley with the Daily Herald.
Local newspaper.
Yes. I have two questions, if that's all right.
Of course.
The first is, over this 25-year project, what can residents expect to see, right? You mentioned it's not a lot of warehouses, so what can they expect to see in the 25 years?
Mayor, quickly, Dave?
Yeah, Dave can speak to that probably better than I can.
And I'd love to give Mr. Bankhead a chance. Oh. He's done it before, so to speak. And,
John Bankhead.
Over the course of the 25 years, the project area that is going to be created will slowly become developed. The city will be on beginning to build and plan for the large-scale regional utilities need to go in. So road networks, power, sewer, all those kind of things that make the community work need to go in prior to development really happening there. And then this will be an organic growth period. It's not going to be somebody flipping a switch, but I think working with the board, working with the city, we are all going to try to motivate the type of industries, the type of companies that the community really wants. We're looking for good quality jobs that increase economic mobility, that people really can earn a great wage doing. Tech companies, and this, we view this as a very wide variety of groups that will really want to come spend short over the next 25 years.
Wonderful, thank you. I have one more question for whoever wants to answer. Kind of about the balance. How do you plan to balance maximizing the positive effects of this, this inland port, and also minimizing the effects on concerns that have been brought up, like the health of residents, the environment, native burial sites, and wetlands and farmland? Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I love that question, because without a doubt, apologize. Yeah, I really appreciate that question. With what the different development groups that we're working with now have on their drawing board, we're talking about potentially 10 plus million square feet of buildings in a part of the area that's being discussed. That will bring certain impacts with it. Traffic will go up in certain areas. There is a need for different utilities to be expanded and the like. What working with the Port Authority, I believe, does as much as anything is it gives us a chance to really premeditate what those impacts are going to be and to use the tools that this area affords a community to use to get out ahead, to build roads ahead of the need, to install infrastructure ahead of the need, and to do things that oftentimes otherwise we can't do when a community is simply left to the desire of one individual property owner exercising their property right at a certain point in time and a subsequent property owner doing the same thing in a manner that oftentimes does end up being disjointed and you don't get systems constructed in the ideal ways. So again, certainly I acknowledge that some of the comments that we heard in the public hearing earlier, they're real and we understand that, but I believe the best way to deal with the impacts is to use the tools that this project will provide.
Wonderful, thank you so much.
Nicole, the only thing I'd add to that is what can citizens expect out there? Well, they can expect public utilities to be in the ground, which isn't always something exciting or necessarily, you know, seen, but yes, buildings being built in the future, business taking place, commerce taking place, but also what you'll see in the area is a lot of what you see now. There's still some people out there that own property, that want to farm, have their horses on it, will have them for a long time there. And so, just as what Dave mentioned, private property rights, those are respected in Spanish Fork. Those are something that we find fundamental and constitutional. And so those people out there that are property owners that want to do something with their ground that involves alfalfa and horses and everything else that you can see in some space out there will continue to do that. The property owners that need utilities out there for manufacturing and for business, the property owners too, and they'll be able to do that as well. And they'll live in harmony. You can drive up and down the Wasatch Front. You see that happening. You see roads built by fills. The diesels are going down and they're headed to and from business. And so that's what people will see in the Northwest Quadrant expansion.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Appreciate you guys sticking around and doing this media interview. Appreciate the panelists taking some time to do this. It's yesterday's. Go right and zipper. The mayor will get you on the fast pass.
It's the test-based fast pass, so you may not want it.
Thanks, and we'll see you next month.